Chesterfield. Down! But I hit the ground running. Makes me feel alive. I was searching for the answers until I changed the question. I pulled back the curtain. The ground running makes me feel alive. I see what my passion emits and press past the limits.
We are here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show, where I am joined, as always, by Kyle Patton and George Jones. Guys, how are we doing tonight? George?
Yeah, I'm good. It's good to be on this podcast for another fun week, fun hour of talking about wrestling.
And Kyle, yourself?
Doing great. Let's do this.
Let's do this thing right here, right now. Guys, let's kick things off with this week's WWE and TNA news. First off, we have Karma's announcing her pregnancy this week on Raw. First off, for me, she was way too much normalized on the edition of Raw. Just the way she spoke. She should have had some sort of sound effect on her voice, was my personal thoughts. Guys, what were you thinking when she was cutting the promo and stuff and her two dreams? George, why don't you give your input?
I don't know. I just sort of think they've almost killed the Karma character. It was good to see that her promo came across better than I thought. In terms of what she said wasn't very good, but at least there was some sort of structure to it. I just sort of think in a year's time, no one's going to think she's sort of that monster they've been building up. They're just going to think she's another diva, or an overweight diva, shall we say.
Yeah, I think she's going to come across as just some random person that's sort of been put there now, not really fitting in. She's not the most attractive lady on the thing, bar China, but she's not in WWE at the moment. She's just sort of now going to be a bit pushed aside. I don't even believe we'll see her back in WWE, to be honest. I think she's going to want to work the TNA sort of route, where it's a lot lighter schedule. She can be at home with her family, etc., etc. Carl, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm happy for her and all, but I definitely think that they almost, if she was a male dog, they pretty much neutered her. They humanized her. I'm happy for her, but this really does kind of kill the character. I mean, she goes from being a complete monster to all of a sudden she's showing emotion and she's just being herself. I mean, she was out of character. It really is disappointing as a fan not to be able to see her whole debut continue to play out and stuff, and to see how that push was going to go and what was going to happen. But good luck with becoming a parent and all that. I wish her the best with her pregnancy. I know it's a high risk one, according to her. Hopefully all is well, but it is disappointing, and I pretty much agree with you guys about Raw.
I want to add to the Karma thing, though. What did everyone think of when that comment about Jim Ross saying that she went for Tough Enough season 2, and then he said she was too fat for it?
He said too big.
Too big. Sorry.
I think personally, she's probably true. It was probably true fact. She is a slightly larger diva. At the time, she probably wouldn't have fitted in with the sort of regime of how divas are meant to go.
I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but Jim Ross, I don't know if you guys read, he said that that pretty much wasn't his fault, though, because that's what the network and what the WWE was asking for.
They were basically looking for bottles, weren't they?
What I want to say, though, is look, if I can't remember the original season of Tough Enough exactly, I can picture it in the back of my mind.
The original season, Maven and Nidia one.
In terms of challenges. But if we say, let's go on the basis of what the one that's currently going on, do you really see Karma doing and surpassing the jogging tests and all the physicality in it? I just see her
I think you've got a really good point there. I think the thing with Karma, what's happened with this promo she's done now, the Bella Twins made her look really weak. The thing is, though, you want them to get their comeuppance. So we're now going to have to wait 12 months for that to happen. I don't know, really. I don't know how she'll come back. I personally think she shouldn't have said anything. She should have just gone. And then there should have been a big mystery. Where's Karma? Blah, 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 blah. And then in 12 months' time or whatever, she should just turn up back and I can say, where's she been? Blah, 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 blah. Then carry on. I don't know what everyone else would have thought of that.
I absolutely agree with you, George. I think as soon as they had that breakdown on Raw, they should have wrote her off the show and in 12 months come back and just dominate the division.
Do we really think she's going to be back here in 12 months? 12 months is a really short time.
I'm going to make a pun. I think she'll be back in 12 months, but I think she'll be a face.
I think so, too. I agree.
I mean, guys, what's our thoughts on the whole Bella Twins deal where she sort of was being taunted by them, started to chase them?
To be honest, I'm just relieved they didn't have an angle where they sort of beat her up. That would have been really degrading as such. I think it's okay them taunting her, but was there any need for that? What's the point of that, really? They've just made Karma basic. They're just showing Karma has feelings. Karma, the character, shouldn't have any feelings as such.
Well, I was not a fan with them of them churning her completely babyface. But with the whole thing with the Bellas, I have no problem with that because that gives you a small tease for 12 months from now. But the problem with that though is 3 months from now, is anybody going to remember or care?
I think the thing with it is what was funny is when they said when Karma goes, oh, that is if you're there, if you're here, which basically just means it basically sounds like one of them's going to go almost.
Well, one of them or two of them, you never know. Twin magic could be the exit way. But imagine that, actually, if you have twin magic when one of them's fired. They could just jump in and out when one of them's injured. That could work, couldn't it?
I just think, to be honest, though, it's just a shame to see the Karma character come to such a crushing end at the moment. Although natural causes can't be unhelped, unfortunately. It's just a shame to see it get such a build and then that go down the drain now, in my opinion.
I just wish they'd looked at it in the future, like more in the future as such, and kind of realized this is coming and not teased us with what we could have had and then stopped, and then we're gonna have to see it started again. Well, hopefully anyway.
You've got to bear in mind though, WWE only knew she was pregnant 2 weeks ago,
so I'm not disputing that at all. I respect that they didn't know that. I just wish she could have maybe told them slightly earlier before anything happened. Obviously she might not well have been able to, but I just, again, hope that they don't do something stupid like turn this into a storyline.
They won't turn it into a storyline now. Now she's come out and said that that's a big dream. I don't think they'll go back on that. They'll get so much criticism from like censorship groups if anything happens to, like something happens to a child, it wouldn't be worthwhile, would it?
Oh, I don't know. The other thing I hope that doesn't happen, though, is that we start getting, like, halfway through Raw saying, 6 months, we get a message from Jim Ross or something halfway through, and it's a picture of him with Karma's baby and Karma there, just something really corny.
I know it's Mark Henry's.
I'd be interested to see in, like, say 10 months time, 11 months time, whether they have vignettes again for her. I think maybe they'll just start exactly from scratch, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be difficult. I don't know how they're going to rebuild her, whether they even will, or whether they'll stick her back in FCW. But any last thoughts on this, guys?
I don't think, I think she'll definitely be back, but as we all pretty much sounded off on, it's not going to be the same. Her original push is done. It's just unfortunate we couldn't see that all just play out and see where it went. And I was really hoping that they would eventually at SummerSlam have a handicap match for the Divas title with the Bellas, but that's not going to happen, obviously. It'll be good to see her when she comes back, but it's not going to be the same. And I definitely think she'll be a babyface. We all pretty much touched on that.
George, have you got any more last thoughts before we move on to the next story?
I just sort of hope that they can still maintain a strong women's division. Not that they've got one at the moment. It's sort of, let's just hope in 12 months' time she does come back, because she is a good wrestler. No one forget that.
There hasn't been a women's division in about 15 years, unfortunately.
What, since Alundra Blaze was the champion?
I'll have you guys know that I love Kelly Kelly and her work rate and her looks and her boobies. So
her work rate is amazing.
I know, wouldn't you?
Let's move on quite swiftly before we get sidetracked.
I like your comment there, Kelly is hot. But WWE Game Series, the name change is now going to be the WWE Game Series is moving names. And it's going to be called WWE 12 is the next brand in the game. I don't know, guys. What do you think of this? Is it a good move? Does this? Kyle, do you have you heard of the games FIFA, the soccer ones?
I've never played the FIFA soccer games.
Have you heard of them though? Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, well, I do not just feel it's like almost a exact.
What, so you think every single year you're going to get WWE 12, 13, etc.?
I really do, and I think all this is going to come into play where it's just going to be a like almost like a FIFA, which over here is where barely anything happens until every like 5 or 6 years. All they do is update the roster and one or two other things.
I've got to admit though, I will be buying that. I always buy FIFA every single year without foul on the day of release. I think the thing with these WWE games is they need to improve. Like the last few ones, particularly on the PS3 console, which is what I own, they've been so unplayable.
The graphics have been terrible. That's the
problem. This new one doesn't look too bad. On the early cover that I've seen, it looks like Randy Orton's on the front of it. And apparently this is going to have something like a WWE Universe mode, which hopefully it'll be good. But I just think the games need to be a bit more simple. The problem is the Road to WrestleMania mode just is so limited. And the roster, by the time it comes out, is just so out of date. Like they'll have wrestlers that have gone or have been fired. I just wish they'd create a game that was up to date with like new wrestlers as such.
The other thing that frustrates me about the game series, and I know this is a bit silly, right? But they keep on going about the PG thing, and whenever the games are released over here, they're like rated 15 or 18. Is that not completely going against what you're saying? We're a real PG family friendly product. Now buy our video games. Oh wait, they're not suitable for your children. It's just completely contradicting yourself, and it's kind of frustrating on whether they want to do it or not. And to be honest, the games aren't that good either. I'm going to say that myself. I've played the most recent ones. I think the last one I bought was even 9 or 10. But, guys, any last thoughts on the WWE games?
Let's just hope this new one is slightly better and that they can sell more copies. I've got a gut feeling already it's going to be targeted to the kids. I just hope that it's going to be one of them games that actually has some sort of different features, not just the same old rubbish with a new roster.
Yeah, I don't know. The other thing they could do before we close up on this story here is, in going back to FIFA again, FIFA update its roster, squads and stuff via downloads. Why can't the WWE do that? Do they really want to look that silly?
You've got to bear in mind, I think the reason why they won't do that is because of, with each new WWE wrestler you're doing, they have to have theme music as such, small things like that, or unless they just give them generic music.
I suppose. I just don't think... I can understand adding new guys to the roster. I don't agree with that, because that's what's going to sell the next game. You know, not personally me, but my, say, younger brothers or sisters might want to buy the next game because it has Sin Cara in it and
Sean, my last point on this subject is the last game that they came out was All Stars, and look how kiddie that was. That was just ridiculous. It was almost like Superman or something. It was high intense action, but just some of the moves are just absolutely out of this world. I've got this gut feeling this game's not going to be much better already.
Yeah, it depends on who it's developed by and how much effort.
THQ are making it.
I wish they'd switch it up, but I don't know. I was looking forward to this so-called Shikara game that they were planning on releasing like in 2009. I've been looking into that again and I've seen nothing. But guys, let's move on to TNA's, not World of Gaming, but their fantasy wrestling game. Basically, TNA have launched a Impact Wrestling fantasy game with a free trial period that will kick off starting with the Slammiversary pay-per-view, which goes live on June 12th. You can play the game at impactwrestlingfantasy.com. There's a free main league, or to have private league with your friends, family, etc. is $2 a month. First off, guys, thoughts on whether it's a good idea? Will people really pay for a private league of TNA wrestling fantasy booking, or not fantasy booking, but predictions? Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts?
It's kind of cool. I don't really see a whole lot of people getting into paying. I mean, it's not expensive or anything, but I don't really see a whole lot of people forking out money to play an online TNA fantasy game. They do have a free version of the game, but I'm gonna give it a try at least on the free version and check it out. And I'm sure a lot of people will, but I don't see people paying about all these money for features and stuff for a TNA fantasy game.
George, have you got any thoughts on the fantasy game and such?
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how it sort of works as such. I don't think a lot of people will pay for it. I just think sort of if you want to play wrestling games, you're going to find other ways of doing it. as such. I can't imagine a lot of people, enough people watch TNA to actually make this like sort of gaming concept a success.
The other thoughts that I had, sorry guys, is how are they going to defeat tapings? Because obviously they tape TV weeks in advance. How are they going to get by with obviously people looking at spoilers?
The spoilers are already out. Perhaps you'll only be limited to that week's show, I think. It'll only be limited to that show you're seeing as such. Maybe sort of they'll only let you do the first show of the month or something.
Yeah, but would that not just be a complete waste of your $2?
I guess somebody has thought it's a good idea. I don't know, to be honest. Can you see it's been a success? I can't. I just sort of think it's a fantasy if TNA just sort of went away. But
way to be sarcastic. Before we finish, I mean, WWE have done this before in the past and it was unsuccessful. The problem with this is if they go way overboard.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. I've just noticed something. It says that apparently the rosters will lock prior to each Impact Wrestling taping.
Really? No
unfair advantage for anyone who attends a live taping or reads about the results. So I don't know how that would work.
That's good.
Yeah, at least they're thinking about something instead of how they book their TV
shows. Let's be honest, though. With TNA's booking, though, no one can win. With like Tommy Dreamer going over AJ Styles, I guess it's just going to be toss a coin and decide who's the most unlikely person is probably going to win. I reckon probably by December, Kendrick's probably going to be the champion. I'm joking.
They should give out points for who has the most like heel and face churns in a month.
Yeah, this is my point, though. I hope they don't go overboard with the whole, you know, how many headshots can a guy take?
Oh, he interferes. That's 7 points.
Oh my God, he's climbed.
I don't know. Apparently,
AJ's done his.
Apparently this game also has like a live trash talk trade talking feature.
That's
so
awesome.
I don't know. I just sort of think apparently you can talk about the real play by play events of TNA. Well, what is there to talk about? The booking's predictable. A 5-year old could book better.
$2 a month, you can play a TNA fantasy game and talk with a whole 7 fans from around the world.
Seven.
Okay. 7,000.
7,000 is a big number for TNA. Are you really, if you've got the time to sit and watch TNA, I doubt you're going to be on a computer playing the fantasy game. That's the last thing I'd really want to be doing on my Thursday evenings. But it'll be interesting to see, guys. I think we should start our own private league up, personally. You know, book a bit of TNA here and there. No, I'm really joking. We've got better things to spend our money on. But let's move on to the next story, which is TNA announcing their UK Maximum Impact Tour. 2012. It is including, for the first time in a long time, Sting. It's almost his first time in a decade, I believe, with a major company. I know he's been over here on other things, I believe, possibly the Hulk Hogan Celebrity Tour, whatever that was. Other names on the tour include AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Mr. Anderson, Matt Morgan, Bully Ray, Mexican America, yay! And many more still to be confirmed. I also forgot to mention Velvet Sky, which means I am more likely to buy a ticket. No, but first off, George, will you be attending the tour?
No, I won't be. It's nowhere near where I live, unfortunately. This would be Sting's first time over here since he was over here with WWE. That wasn't very much a success, but some of the arenas they're going to are rather large. I don't know if they'll actually sell out. They're even doing like London Wembley Arena. That's quite a large like place to do. But you know what wrestling's like over here? It's just tickets just go. No matter how bad the show is. I think it's been jammed down everyone's throat on Challenge TV.
Actually TNA's house shows tend to be alright from what I've heard, quite enjoyable events. I haven't attended one myself. I would like to in the future, just apparently the focus on the show is more wrestling than anything.
I've been to a TNA house show before, and I've been to a WWE house show before too, and TNA definitely puts on a good product when it comes to house shows, and it like you said, it is focused on the wrestling. They definitely give away, or it's definitely good quality, and you get autographs and all that stuff. The wrestlers come right up to you, whatever. But as for like the UK stuff, TNA tends to draw better in the UK than they do in the United States.
Sorry to interrupt you. It's just set record ratings over here, apparently, on our free TV.
Yeah, but they set record ratings all the time because they're going up against Les Dennis's Family Fortunes and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire replays from like 1993.
I've got to be honest though, like if this was in the States, they know it would sell out. I think the only thing, look at the roster they're taking for the looks of things. The only main draws they've got on that roster, in my opinion, are Sting and Kurt Angle. Who else? Have, I guess Mr. Anderson.
Velvet Sky. I want to get that in. Velvet Sky. Me and Carl have been talking.
Let's talk realistically now. If you're looking at main like stars that have done it in the business, that's the only two people I can see. There.
No. I'm
all right. Realistically,
disagree. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe.
AJ Styles won't draw. He's sort of he's a good worker, mate, but he's been gilled recently. You look at what the booking of.
Yeah, but
realistically, Realistically, this card would draw somewhere between 700 and 1,200 fans in the States, but it'll probably draw 5,000 in the UK.
It's like London Wembley Arena, God knows what the capacity is. It's quite a large building.
I'll tell you why they draw over here. The reason is we barely get any decent wrestling, big name American talent coming over. We get a big name. I'm not going to disagree. And sorry to backtrack, but we only get say one or two big guys in an event.
You would get someone like a Billy Gunn or a Road Dogg.
But they tour. The thing is, they tour over here. Billy Gunn was living in Portsmouth, which is, I don't know if you know, Carl, but that's about 20 minutes down the road from me. He's been living there for like 6 months. He's got his own milkshake. That's how bad he is. He has a milkshake in Shakeaway down here, named after him. Yeah, I'll get
it. The Road Dog, isn't it? The Road Dog has his own milkshake as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've had it.
I think, to be honest, though, the reason why TNA are going to make a success over it is what they can charge. Like, us English fans will pay a lot more for our ticket. I went and saw a WWE Raw house show quite recently, and pretty much what they were charging £50 to get in. It's a lot of money, really, just to see a basic house show.
The other thing is, though, are people going to be willing to queue for the whole getting as such? You know, you get your photos with the guys. Wembley Arena is
You won't get that, though, surely, in this country, will you?
Yeah, you do. There's special tickets, yeah.
Surely that's like VIP to the front only, the front like.
Yes. It's VIP. The people that pay, even in America at least, people that pay $50 or more for their tickets get to meet and greet.
I heard though that there's a special meet and greet ticket over here, and from there's really well shot documentary from last year's Impact tour, and there was a good few hundred people in that queue. The only thing I'm going to say is, I don't know if it's the same with Americans, Carl, but English people or UK people get essentially bored of waiting. I'm going to completely go against that because I'm disabled and I get to skip all the queues. But no, they get bored very easily. So if there's nothing to do in that queue, people might not even stay in it just out of being bored, etc. Guys, any last closing thoughts on the Maximum Impact Tour? Sting.
I think it's good to see Sting in this country. Or he is their world champion, but I don't know. It depends who he's against, really. You can't actually see any decent like title changes happening here. Wouldn't it make sense though if he did like a live Impact from here? But oh no, that's too much common sense to TNA. They just want to take place in the Impact Zone.
The only other thought I've got is, why is there no Scotland date? I know they normally announce the Ireland date separately, but there's no Scotland.
I had like seven people send me messages asking me why TNA is not going to a Scotland for that tour.
There's going to be further dates announced, though.
Well, I know that the last Scotland event didn't draw apparently very well, which is surprising for the Brayhead Arena. Personally, coming from Scotland, I know that always sells out for any WWE event and has done for TNA in the past. But I don't know, maybe they're running it at a loss. But it's going to be interesting to see. The only other thing coming out of this is the names announced. One thing I've picked up on is there will be no Chris Sabin because I know he's sidelined till the end of the year. Plus Mexican America are going to be there, which means are they going to be together till January? Which is like, do we really have to see that?
Plans could change though, can't they?
Oh yeah, totally. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I mean, let's move on to the next story, guys, which is probably the biggest story of the night in the past sort of week or so, which is China's new Backdoor into China DVD release.
Biggest story?
This is huge. I think we should announce our special edition, which me and Carl have been talking about. What we're going to do, guys, for you exclusively is when the DVD is released, we're going to do a special episode where there's no news or anything. No interviews. We're going to have a full DVD preview followed by a running commentary from myself and Carl and George.
Disclaimer.
I'm not going to be on it. No chance.
Oh, yeah, you are, George. You're signed in the contract, even though there's no contracts.
All right. Well, since we're talking about China's new DVD of, you know, here with adult film porn, whatever.
Let's get off it as soon as possible because it's enough to do with wrestling. Let's be honest.
Real quickly though, the new news today is that according to TMZ, TNA wants nothing to do with her now if this video is in fact released.
Why would you want anything to do with her? But really, honestly, have you seen her?
According to China, she is in the works for a long-term deal with TNA, but it's not going to happen if this goes through.
Well,
it's not going to happen anyway. She's only there for one show. She didn't even speak. Where is she now? She hasn't been mentioned since, has she?
Well, that doesn't mean that can't change. It's just, but I don't think anybody's going to want anything to do with her when she's in the adult film industry.
Well, if she comes back, she'll be there. She'll do a few big shows here and there. She'll be on some higher up in the card matches. Then she'll get lost in the shuffle and we'll probably never see her again. That's the sad truth, but that's most likely to happen. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and plug the website?
Ineedwrestling.com, just exactly how it sounds. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Pretty easy to find. We have audio, news, and columns. Check it out.
You can also find the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show on Twitter and Facebook. For Facebook, just go to facebook.com/AftershockWrestling or Twitter at Aftershock_live. Guys, I want to bring up this last story here, which it's not really a story as such, but it's TNA to have an all six-sided Ring Destination X pay-per-view. First off, what I've been thinking about this is WWE being criticized for putting on too many gimmick pay-per-views. And my concern is that TNA are going to get criticized for putting on a gimmick pay-per-view as well, sort of copying WWE again. Have we got any thoughts on the whole pay-per-view in general and whether we like the six-sided ring to come back just for a pay-per-view every year or whether we just want this to be a one-off? Kyle, why don't you give some input?
I definitely think there's going to be criticism on it. I mean, gimmicks are huge in wrestling these days. Every company thinks they need to pull off a gimmick to draw, which is really not true. But as for the pay-per-view itself, I have no problem with it. I think it's cool to bring back the six-sided ring for one night. I just hope that, since this is Destination X, I really do hope that TNA does something a little different and has this show actually center around the X division, which, I mean, right now there really is no X division, but It would be cool to see them focus for one night at least on the X division and to showcase that style of wrestling, because WWE has pretty much nothing like that. So it would be cool to see them do that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting show in general. We can definitely tell they're leading into some sort of pay-per-view based around the X division, just with the way the Impact is going. George, have you got any thoughts? Sorry.
Yeah, it'd be good to see the six-sided ring, even though it's just back for one night. I just hope sort of they give the X division like some sort of chance in that like night to shine, really. I just sort of pray as soon as possible Abyss is taken off as champion. It's just a joke, really. They need to really rebuild that X division. It made TNA famous.
I don't know. I think we might see at Slammiversary some sort of match where if one of the X division or some of the X division team win, then they get an all X division pay-per-view of their choice, and then they choose, say, the X Cup, or just do something else. Or we could see it integrated with the explosion sort of.
Chairman.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's.
I know Mick Foley was looking for wrestlers before he got fired on TV. I don't know how that's sort of going to come into play. That was all meant to be about Destination X.
It's confusing, isn't it?
The whole network storyline is garbage. It has no end to it.
That's sort of gone again, isn't it? What made me laugh about it was, originally, though, Foley wasn't even meant to be their first choice.
Guys, I just want to interrupt, right? We're complaining about the network. At least TNA have bothered to announce it and slightly make a deal out of it. When WWE, if they ever announce the GM, no one's going to give a damn. I don't want the show to come across as we're being negative towards TNA.
Do you want me to tell you what I think the Raw GM is now? This is my honest opinion. I think the Raw GM is going to be Shane McMahon. Really do. Despite him falling out of Vince, I think that'll be like the big surprise. Originally, it was meant to be Triple H, and then they balls that up.
I've got three thoughts on it. Well, not two. I think it's either going to be Chris Jericho, with him being away for quite a while, and him due to be back in the ring after this Fozzy tour of the UK goes away. And possibly more Michael Cole, which is probably the most likely. But guys, let's get back onto the TNA stuff. Any more thoughts on the six-sided ring pay-per-view in general? Kyle?
As for the pay-per-view, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope TNA actually does what this pay-per-view should be meant to do, and that is to showcase the X Division, that cruiserweight style of wrestling, pretty much. And I don't know. They've tried to showcase the X Division in the past with pay-per-views. At least they claim that they were going to, and it never turned out that way. It turned out it was a one-match. It was one match on the pay-per-view, and the rest was focused on, the heavyweights and veterans. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they at least do with it.
George, any more last thoughts on this?
Yeah, just let's just hope that it's going to be good, really. I mean, they got to use that six-sided ring to their advantage. I don't know. Let's just hope sort of they make it stand out, make it unique, make wrestling matter.
All right, guys, I think we wrap this bit of the show up here for now. Guys, when we return, we're going to discuss some more of the ongoings in TNA, including Jeff Hardy's latest court shenanigans and the wrestling meeting which took place this past week. So stick around.
Hey everyone, I'm here to tell you about my wrestling reality show called Laugh or Cry TV, which is at laughorcrytv.com. It's your ringside seat to my adventures inside the wrestling ring and outside the wrestling ring. Laugh or Cry TV features my wrestling career, as well as stunts like a 30-foot bridge jump, family incidents like my dad cutting a tree with boxing gloves, and street trouble like me sleeping in a bed shop. I nearly died 9 times while filming. That's how crazy it is. And you can watch my show, the world's first unscripted reality show, Laugh or Cry TV, every Thursday on laughorcrytv.com. Now, what does the media think of the show? Well, here's some quotes. Funny. The Sun newspaper said that. Funny. That was the Telegraph newspaper. Funny. Bizarre magazine. Funny. BBC Three. Funny. BBC Radio. Funny. True TV. Funny, New York TV. Funny, The Citizen. Funny, Most Daring TV Show. Funny, USA Cable TV. Funny, Twaddle Magazine. Funny, Las Vegas Radio. Funny, Nash Entertainment. Funny, A Hollywood Company. Funny, The World Society for the Protection of Animals. Funny, Heart Radio. Funny, Q Magazine. Funny, Total Kiss Radio. Funny, Tangoed Films. Funny, Camden Radio. Funny, London Radio. Funny, BBC Radio 4. Funny, Tom Green. Not funny. That was my nan that said that. Laugh or Cry TV, every Thursday at laughorcrytv.com. Your ringside seat to my adventures inside and outside the wrestling ring.
It's a debate that has raged for years. Who is the greatest WWE superstar ever? Now, with the most controversial DVD release of the year, World Wrestling Entertainment proudly presents the Shocking Countdown, WWE's Top 50 Superstars of All Time. Over 8 hours of legendary encounters, epic battles, and unforgettable moments. In-depth profiles and 50 larger-than-life superstars.
I was Rowdy before Rowdy was cool.
Just bring it.
Oh, hell yeah. The champ is here.
Who will be number one? You'll only find out with WWE's Top 50 Superstars of All Time. Own this controversial countdown now.
We are back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show, where I am joined by Kyle and George for the next half an hour, discussing all things professional wrestling. Guys, let's discuss the TNA Wrestlers meeting, which took place apparently this past week. The story is being reported by Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. And he has said that there was a wrestler's a source close to him has said that there was a wrestler's only meeting held at the TNA Impact tapings last week. The theme of the meeting was that Bully Ray and others want to help bridge the gap between the younger and inexperienced wrestlers and the creative team. The meeting resulted in a lot of bickering about the creative direction. Head writer Vince Russo was invited to join the meeting at one point, but he declined, which annoyed a lot of the wrestlers. Guys, first up, thoughts on Russo not turning up. Do you reckon this, well, for me anyway, it comes across that he's probably not liked backstage well, and may well feel threatened by the other guys being crossed with the way he books things. Any thoughts on this, George?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they were upset. The thing with Vince Russo is the guy has got some good ideas, but the whole way he books is just very much, there's no real structure to what he says. Every character has to have a little bit of like a little bit of bad, a little bit of good. I don't know. I think sort of maybe he's maybe TNA have got their own ideas. Vince Russo perhaps has got his own ideas. He doesn't want other wrestlers interfering as such. I do agree with it slightly though. Bear in mind we're going to go into a pay-per-view quite soon. Perhaps this should have took place at the beginning of like last month, not this month as such, when we're like 2 weeks away from pay-per-view now.
I mean, I'd be cross as well if the head booker in the company decides not to turn up, mainly due to, well, apparently there was a personal issue, whether that's true, and he just said that to escape. It could be just he was...
Who would you say he's got heat with, though?
Well, not heat as such with anyone in particular, just the younger roster in general, with them not being booked as much as the older guys. You know,
that's not all of Vince Russo's fault, though.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say... I'm not going to blame that all on him. I'm just saying that there might well be heat. That's not just my thought. That's just a question I've got for you guys, whether you think there is any heat on him. But sorry, Carl, expand on what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say, I mean, Vince Russo, he writes the show with the help of several others, including a lot of people don't know this, but JB does have has say in creative writing. You know, he writes the shows, but he doesn't pick the people that get pushed. That comes from higher up. That comes from Dixie Carter. I'm sure that Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan have a little bit to say about that and more. But I don't know. Is there heat on Vince Russo? I think there's always been heat on Vince Russo since WCW. I think a lot of people have not let it go. I'm not saying that's, you know, these younger wrestlers' particular problem with him. But, I mean, I don't know. I just sense you know, after reading this story, I sense a frustration from the younger crowd. The younger guys, they always feel like they're being held down by the veterans. I mean, look, we have a 52-year-old world champion in TNA, which is pretty much unheard of in a lot of wrestling promotions. But I don't know. I mean, it's good to see that these guys are trying to speak out. They had their wrestlers-only meeting. But I kind of agree with George. It's kind of a little late with the pay-per-view coming up. But I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but I do think Vince Russo does get some heat backstage.
One thing that has come good out of this is that TNA have realized not to broadcast their wrestling only meetings like they did, I believe, on the January 4th show from 2010.
That was terrible.
That was an embarrassment. Do you know that? I was absolutely appalled when
it also looked so fake too.
It was like having Dixie Carter as your mum and she was telling all her children what to do and not to be out too late partying.
Sorry to interrupt. You sort of got to look at it as regarding that though. I mean, the thing with TNA is you've got so many veterans and so many younger wrestlers. Apparently, the veterans still want to be in the spotlight. So you can imagine people like Bully Ray telling the younger wrestlers just to shut up and get
on. You know why they want to be in the spotlight? It's because that's the big money.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, I bet if they didn't have to work, they would not be working.
In that meeting, though, Bully Ray was one of the main guys. Apparently, he was trying to bridge the gap between like him and the younger wrestlers. But I don't know, I just think the younger wrestlers should be over it. They're going to be a company in the future, not Stin, not older wrestlers, not wrestlers we've seen for 20 years.
Sorry to interrupt you, George, but we're going to have to take this story with a pinch of salt, as we do with every story here. But, you know, this may well not all be true. I'm pretty sure there was a wrestlers-only meeting in the truth about the Vince Russo, but whether that Bully Ray was one of the main ones wanting to help bridge the gap may well not be true, as you mentioned. But I think it'll be interesting to see whether this does do anything in the near future. It's nice to see that they are meeting together. We never hear of this on WWE, etc. Guys, any other closing thoughts on this story?
Well, you know, for TNA, like, I mean, if, you know, assuming that all this is true, I mean, or whatever, I definitely think that it's good that they're at least trying to communicate with each other and, you know, the younger guys should have a voice, whether it's heard or not. But as for, you know, the company itself, I've been saying this for a while, guys like Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett, who are established in this business, shouldn't be feuding with each other in TNA. Not only have we seen this a lot before, but these guys should be putting over the younger talent and building the future, because right now there is no future in TNA. AJ Styles has been buried. Samoa Joe's been buried. The only new guy that they've pushed is Crimson, who has a rocket up, you know, behind him. I mean, there needs to be a change. I'm not saying that the veterans need to, leave the company or go sit out on the side, but these guys should not be feuding with each other. We've seen it all in the past. They should be feuding with the young guys, and the young guys should be getting some of the upper hand here.
Carl, if we're looking at longevity booking, though, I would guess that after this pay-per-view, we will have a new world champion. So hopefully that will be some sort of change.
Yes.
Who do you see the champion being, though?
Mr. Anderson.
I see it being Mr. Anderson after this pay-per-view as well.
I don't know who we'll feud with next, though. Maybe it'll be Van Damme again, but they need to put someone up as a challenger.
It needs to be AJ Styles, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, actually, who we'll feud next with is either Jeff Jarrett or Kurt Angle, depending on who wins that match.
I forgot about them.
I don't want to see him feud with RVD, though. That's one thing.
It won't be them. It'll either be Kurt Angle or Jeff Jarrett. So if you look at...
why, though?
Mr. Anderson now a face, a heel, or a tweener? I'd say he's a tweener. So it's more than likely to be him versus Kurt Angle at the event after.
Because he could still play the heel, but, I mean, he could also be the face against Jeff Jarrett. I mean, the crowd still is behind him, even though he's been playing this heel role against Sting the last month or two. But I don't know. I wish it was somebody else other than Angle and Jarrett getting the next shot.
I'm sorry we didn't discuss this when we were talking about the Destination X pay-per-view, but do you actually see, if this is going to be an all-X Division pay-per-view, do we actually see them defending the tag belts, the knockouts, or the heavyweight title belt?
I would guess that the heavyweight definitely be on that. Heavyweight sells tickets, sells buy rates.
It's an all-X Division-based pay-per-view. That's the thing.
Fizz, has that really been confirmed other than the six-sided ring?
Yeah, but that's the whole direction that it's been rumoured to be. I know there's...
There will be a world title match in that show. I can't believe they'll do a show of that being a world title match.
Unless they did this sort of show, not really a pay-per-view as such, but pay-per-view, you buy it through pay-per-view, but say, instead of, I don't know, what do you guys pay, Carl? $30 for a TNA pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's like $30 HD, I think.
What if you
pay $20 or $15,
like the ROH stuff you'd paid for? Even if it was streamed online, they can stream their stuff online well, TNA. Would you buy that sort of if you were able to blow up on your TV in big screen without any lag?
Definitely. I definitely would go that route if that was possible.
And do you think that would be a good idea or not? Whether if you don't have a almost like a super show where there's no heavyweight title, just have the Knockouts title possibly defended on it. But base it all around, if you've got it based all around the X Division, obviously they're just not as big a draw. Would you do it on a slightly cheaper scale? I don't know, it's just a thought. But George, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just hope that it's the whole thing has got structure, but you are going to have a world title match in that pay-per-view. I'll mark my words now. If I'm wrong, you can say I told you so, but no, definitely there'll be a world title match on that pay-per-view.
I'm just going to say it's TNA, so you never know what's going to happen.
I definitely think George is right, though. That even though, you know, the name is Destination X and the six-sided ring is coming back, which has made the X Division somewhat, you know, part of their success, I definitely think we're going to see... I don't think the whole pay-per-view personally is going to be showcased around X Division. I'm thinking maybe two matches. Maybe they'll have an X Division match and then a number one contenders match in like the whatever.
They're going to have Ultimate X again. That's definite.
That's what I was actually looking for was the name Ultimate X. I think they'll have an Ultimate X and then they'll have a...
One thing they don't need to do, though, is that stupid gimmick where someone falls off the giant X in the top of the... where they had Rhino versus a few years back, between 2008 and
2009. Oh, what, not the Monsters Ball match?
No. Where the guys, they had a big X in the top, but it was like flat so you could walk across it. It wasn't
AJ Styles, was it? He took a lot of bumps off there.
Yeah, no, but it was like, it was wide enough so you could walk across it. They had Rhino do a gore off the top of
it. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I think I know.
The name of it will come to me later. If they do that, I will scream. I'm not joking. It'll make me go insane if they do that stupid thing again where they pretend to fall off by flapping their arms around. Sorry, Kyle, go ahead.
Oh, my bad. You know, guys, the thing that really frustrates me, since we're talking about TNA here, the one thing that frustrates me most is I had to, yesterday after Impact, I had to look up to see who the TNA Knockout Tag Team Champions were because I couldn't remember.
Sorry to interrupt you, but who is it?
It's the Mexican America girls.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry, continue.
But my point is, having said that, is there's only two titles in TNA that actually mean anything, and that is the world title and the tag team titles. Yeah, none of the other titles are showcased or mean anything at all, and I just...
Not a bit, though. The world title doesn't really mean anything now at the moment.
They've told us that the X Division title doesn't mean anything. Eric Bischoff has come out and publicly said, we do not give a crap about the X Division. That's basically saying, go and F
You're off. Looking at... You're looking at like sort of the next event though. I think Abyss will lose it. I think he'll lose it to Kazarian again or Kendrick.
Don't put it back on Kazarian. He should be doing the stuff with Fortune, not in the X Division. Make your mind up. If you're gonna have him in the X Division,
but Fortune are a watered down stable now.
Oh, I know, but even
they're like a poor man's four horsemen.
That's what they're supposed to be, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is.
It's just confusing. But guys, let's get on to even more confusing stuff, which is the Jeff Hardy court case. It's basically being continued, apparently, until...
Oh, that's a shocker.
27th. Yay! Guys, do you want to put a bet on what's happened next time?
This is more gripping than an EastEnders storyline.
Kyle probably doesn't know what EastEnders is, but it's bad. it's just painful. Do you know, I love to see when this actually started. I think it was back in 2009, possibly, was it?
It was like September of 2009, I believe. That's when he got arrested.
I just feel for the people that have been trialing this case, how God long and...
You've sort of got looking like this, though. Becky Carlson, she's the services program administrator for Moore County Sentencing Services. And pretty much, I don't know what is going on with it. She's meant to have finished trying him on June the 1st. But yet again, they've missed the deadline.
The only thing I'm going
to
say...
You get the feeling, though, that Jeff Hardy's not going to be coming back to TNA to at least next year now?
Do you know, I'm going to sound really contradicting myself and stuff here, but I actually feel kind of sorry for Jeff that this has gone on so long that he's not going to be able to clean himself up and
Sean,
get
Sean, why do you feel sorry for him? He's there because it's his own fault.
I know, but if you look at what happened to him, right, I totally disagree. If you do drugs, you do drugs. I'm not going to lie, I've had the crappiest week of my life or the past week. It's not been good, and I haven't resorted to drugs, well, illegal ones anyway. But it's just, I think, if you want to, say you want to clean yourself up and get this over and done with, and you actually want to get back into the business and do some decent matches, and you're not being given the opportunity to do so because these court cases get...
We are hoping that there'll be a resolution on June the 27th. That's the date that they're pinpointed to.
Oh, but didn't they say that on the last court?
Take some bets.
Yeah. That's
June 27th apparently is the date. So.
Oh my God, that'll be the fantasy game, won't it? Will Jeff?
To be honest, even if he like sort of gets away with it on June 27th, I don't think he'll be back to next year now, despite him being the credits of Impact Wrestling.
I actually think it's possible he could be back before the end of this year. But I do think his court case does have a major impact on that. And this has just been going on way too long. Hopefully there's something done about it.
They have to resolve it. It's just going on too long now.
Well, Kyle, as you said, this court case has been going on too long. Just like this conversation about Jeff Hardy has probably been going on too long. But, guys, any closing thoughts on what's been a really dull week in wrestling generally? Kyle?
I think you said it there. It has been a pretty dull week in wrestling. I know it sounded like we were nitpicking at TNA again this week, but I mean, it's none of us here on the show absolutely hate TNA. We just get frustrated with some of their issues. But it's been a dull week. But I think we did a good job of covering it, though.
I'm just gonna say as well, we get frustrated with WWE stuff as well as all the time, and there's some good stuff going on in TNA. I'm not gonna deny it. But before George, you give your closing comments, I just want to say I was watching Jim Mitchell shoot, and why the hell he isn't in the business and somehow completely bemuses me. I know it's totally off topic, but
one One quick note, I just want to let the listeners know that I don't think TNA only draws 7 fans.
We think they draw 4. No.
No. I think my closing thoughts of it is this week has been a really, really strange week. Strange but slow. There hasn't really been anything that good this week. I just sort of think, considering we're not far off a pay-per-view, particularly WWE, there's just sort
it's
of
been,
no real...
It's been
we haven't progressed any further.
It's been a confusing week, hasn't it, when you think
actually,
about it? Sorry to interrupt you. But with the whole karma thing, that's completely bemused.
Yeah, actually,
no one...
my highlight of this week is R-Truth. I've got to give him credit. The stunt he pulled on Raw Monday night to get that win over Cena was just hilarious.
Do you know what?
That was absolutely brilliant. That was so well booked.
He's grown on me, and the problem was that the bloody satellite dish thing cut out for... Oh, not
I don't mean to be negative, though, but who realistically sees him beating Cena? What's the point of building this guy up to the moon for him only to flat back on his face against Cena?
Well, I see them to have something like Obama come down and... No.
Obama won't be there. You know he's only there...
Oh, he'll be there. He'll be there.
Apparently. He's only there as a satire. He won't be there.
He'll be there.
George beat me to it. He pretty much hit it on the head. R-Truth was the highlight of this week. R-Truth's heel turn has been pretty good, in my opinion. But the issue with it, though, having said that, since you know we're going to get this matchup, it looks like at Capital Punishment with Cena, but as George pointed out, there's no way in hell R-Truth is going to pick up the WWE strap at Capital Punishment, so what's the point behind it anyway?
Do you not think, though, possibly, like, sort of like a shock, he gets it for one night and then loses it? I don't think they'll do that with that title, but it would be fun if they did.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, WWE has done that many times in the past. All of wrestling, well, not all, but most wrestling promotions.
You've got to look at this. Me and Carl were talking earlier, before the show came on air. We both agreed, though. We think that John Cena will win, and then he'll go into a feud with CM Punk next month before he faces Del Rio. I don't know what your thoughts on that is, Sean.
I'm a huge fan of Punk, so I really want him out of the
whole reason
tag
why that
team.
Will happen is the reason why we've agreed this, or my personal opinion on it, is because of Punk still might be going. That rumor's come up again this week, and apparently John Cena has requested that he's the last person that works with CM Punk before he possibly goes.
So really, I did not know that actually.
That's come up again this week, mate. It's pretty much there are rumors going around that he still might go despite beating Rey Mysterio.
The other thing is, as far as I'm concerned, Punk loves the ROH stuff. His friends are there. He knows he can be at the top of the game. And now that they've got a TV deal, you know, he probably kind of wants to be there, even though it's not the.
Can they afford his wages, though? That's the thing.
Well, they've been brought out by a fairly big company, haven't they? Well, not huge, but I think, yeah, probably. If Punk wants to be there with his friends.
I'm sorry about that. As we were talking about ROH last week, the one big positive that came out of that, even though they're not, you know, not in position to run at TNA, is they have a huge financial backer. Now, I'm not saying that just means they can go out and buy anybody, but I do think that that does help them so that if, you know, for some reason CM Punk decides WWE is not where he wants to be, I think maybe ROH can play a little hardball and throw him some money. We'll see.
Well, look, ROH have got enough. I've got a big financial backer now. As you said, Kyle, they can't go out and afford everybody. But what they probably can do is get some lower budget guys.
CM Punk's not going to be a lower budget.
What I'm saying is you can have one big guy on the show. You can have one big guy who's Punk, and you can have slightly smaller guys like your Colt Cabana, your Kings of Wrestling, who are all on decent wages, but you know. Not nearly anything near Punk's. It's kind of like a football kind of thing. Soccer almost. You have certain teams that have one big player and then lots of smaller players. I think they could well end up doing that. And if Punk's would prefer to be there, it's a lighter schedule, etc.
I don't know. I just, to be honest, as much as I want a sort of, I can't see Punk going though. As much as I sort of, the rumors are that he's gonna go, but I don't think he'll go. Do you guys think he really go?
Well, since we're talking about it, I agree with George though. Even though it's definitely a possibility, but I don't see it happening in the long run. What I see most likely happening is either Punk is going to agree to re-sign with maybe some new terms, or Punk will maybe take off a couple months, work a few one spotters here and there, and then he'll return to WWE. I don't really see Punk going anywhere other than WWE because he is like George pointed out, he is a top draw. He's definitely worked his way up in this business, and I think that WWE is the only real place for him. I don't see him going to TNA, definitely not.
My gut feeling on this, guys, is that Punk probably knew about the deal quite a while back. He probably isn't on the salary that he wants to be, so he sort of held it out until this deal was announced, and then WWE could feel slightly threatened and offer him anything that necessary, and now he's got what he wants. Personally, as even though I've been saying there's a possibility, I don't see him either leaving. I just don't feel that he's probably paid his dues and made enough cash yet to go and live off what he has done.
What I've got to say about it is, though, if he is going, why is he beating Rey Mysterio? Surely he should be jobbed out. Do you guys not agree with that?
I think they sent him off in a good way if he's going.
If he's going to go to the Rivals, you're going to let him be over so he can pretty much go over on a higher. Whereas they're dropping wrestlers that need to be in WWE.
Unless
they're putting him over to basically feud with Cena, maybe. I know
one of the big deals in this contract negotiation is the fact that CM Punk still owns the rights to his name. And I know that from all reports, that WWE wants to own CM Punk's name in the new contract. Punk is not stupid. He knows that his name is a big moneymaker, and if he were to go somewhere like ROH or TNA, he could take it with him. So I think the big thing in this negotiation is that Punk wants his name. He doesn't want to give it to WWE.
Guys, I think we'll end it there. You pretty much summed it up. We're very mixed on whether Punk will go. We don't think he will, but there's definitely a possibility. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and actually, do you want me to plug the website there?
Go ahead.
You can check out ineedwrestling.com on Facebook and Twitter. It's exactly as it sounds. You can search for I Need Wrestling in Facebook, or Twitter is at I Need Wrestling. There's some good audio up on the site at the moment.
Can I just say one last thing?
Go for it.
This coming Monday is the final of Tough Enough. We haven't really mentioned it at all tonight. I'm going to go on the record and predict that I think Luke's going to win. I don't know if you guys have been following it at all.
Yeah, I have. And does anyone see Andy winning? No, because he's
tall though. He's tall though.
I agree, it's Luke.
Austin hates Luke, but I think he's sort of
not after this
carbon copy of a poor man's Randy Orton.
Not after this week's promotional stuff. Luke was a hell of a lot better in the hospital. More entertaining. He looked a hell of a lot better in the images being taken. To be honest, I feel that Jeremiah should have actually been in the.
Yeah, Jeremiah thing, should have done.
Is
this coming week's Raw? Apparently, they're going to get 15 minutes each to do a match. I don't know who they're going to wrestle yet. That hasn't been announced.
I don't know. It's going to. I think the. What would sum up here, guys?
Does anyone know if this is the 3-hour Raw this Monday?
I believe. You know what? I don't know. I don't think so.
They haven't announced it at all. If it is,
I would say because Austin's meant to be on it as well.
I just know that Tough Enough is going to be live. They're going to have those two FCW exhibition matches on it, and then the rumor is it hasn't been confirmed, but the rumor is that the winner of Tough Enough will then have their very first match on Raw that night. But that's just a rumor.
I think it'll be interesting to see, guys, whether. I just can't see Andy winning it.
Never say never, though, mate. Austin has got it in for Luke.
Oh, without a doubt. But as you say, he's a poor man's Randy Orton, isn't he, really? He just doesn't come across as... But Andy is... I don't know. It's a shame that Martin guy...
It should be there. It should be the other guy. Exactly as you said, Jeremiah.
But guys, do you want to wrap it up there? I was finishing the plug, which is ineedwrestling.com. Facebook, you can search I Need Wrestling. It's exactly as it sounds, or Twitter at I Need Wrestling. You can find the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AftershockWrestling. Guys, let's close out the show. This has been Sean Wolford, and on behalf of Kyle and George, I want to say thank you for joining us. Make sure to tune in next week, and good night.
See you later.